The words of God given to us today are Matthew 20, chapter 27, verses 57 to 61. It is page 51 of the New Testament. Matthew chapter 27, verses 57 to 61. Allow me to read the words. As evening approached, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who had himself become a disciple of Jesus. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body, and Pilate ordered that it be given to him. Joseph took the body, wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and placed it in his own new tomb that he had cut out of the rock. He rolled a big stone in front of the entrance to the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting there opposite the tomb. Amen. The final part of the four Gospels records the death of the Messiah. Among the passages in the Old Testament, there are 456 verses referring to or related to the Messiah. And according to a Jewish theologian, Alfred Edersheim, 75 are mentioned in the five books of Moses, 243 in the prophecy, and 138 in the Holy Scriptures. The words of the prophecy mentioned in Genesis were fulfilled, and Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, died on the cross. Finally, when the soul of Jesus Christ departed, the veil of the sanctuary was torn in two from the top to the bottom, and the earth trembled, the rocks were cracked, and the tombs were opened. The centurion and his army, who were closest to the Lord on the cross, were terrified as they saw what was happening before their eyes. Unlike the death of many prisoners that they have witnessed, they stood afraid when they saw the workings of God the Creator, who granted salvation through dying on the cross. And it left a huge impression on the heart and the conscience of the centurion. It turned out that Jesus, now crucified before his eyes, had nothing to do with the accusations of the furious mob around him. He was the same man as he proclaimed he was, and what he showed on the cross proved that he was not only a righteous man, but indeed also the true Son of God. So like a sheep brought to the slaughterhouse, the centurion quietly confessed that Jesus, who died on the cross, was the true Son of God, and not the Roman emperor that he worshipped so heavily. The death of the Son of God on the cross allowed anyone who confessed that Jesus Christ was the Savior a way to come forward to the sanctuary with boldness. Through his death, a highway was paved to go from the hills of Golgotha, tinged with the smell of death, to having eternal life. However, this message of life proclaimed only by way of death, of Jesus, was not actually spread by the disciples who accompanied the Lord, nor was it proclaimed by Jesus' family of the earth. The message reached the people through the Roman centurion and his army, who were Gentiles that were directly processing the crucifixion of the Lord. And by doing so, the centurion experienced the grace of God and confessed that Jesus Christ was indeed the Son of God, the Lord of heaven and the earth. There was another person who was prepared to help with the Lord's burial, verse 57 of today's scripture. As evening approached, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who had himself become a disciple of Jesus. In this world, a person is declared dead when he or she stops breathing. When God takes away the last breath from our nostrils, we physically die. However, the cessation of breathing does not mean that we stop existing. It also does not mean that just because one stopped breathing, their presence are forgotten. We do not know when the rich man Joseph became a disciple of Jesus, but at the moment the Lord died on the cross, while Peter and the other disciples were nowhere to be seen, Joseph faced the Lord's death by revealing himself as a disciple of Jesus. Unlike the members of the Sanhedrin Council to which he belonged, which was a dangerous move. Let's take a look at the records of Joseph of Arimathea in the other Gospels besides Matthew. Book of Mark, chapter 15, 43. Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent member of the council, who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, went boldly to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Luke chapter 23, verses 50 to 51. Now there was a man named Joseph, a member of the council, a good and upright man, who had not consented to their decision and action. He came from the Judean town of Arimathea, and he himself was waiting for the kingdom of God. John chapter 9, verse 38. Later, Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Now Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly because he feared the Jewish leaders. With Pilate's permission, he came and took the body away. The Gospel of Mark testifies that there were Jesus' disciples, even within the Sanhedrin council, by introducing Joseph, who was a prominent member of the council who was waiting for the kingdom of God. And the Gospel of Luke not only introduces the identity of Joseph, but also the personal character and the propensities that came with his status in detail. Putting together the records available, Joseph was from the area or the region of Arimathea. Since Joseph was a common name among the Jews, it seems that the author intentionally mentioned the regional name of Arimathea to distinguish himself from other Josephs. It is presumed that Arimathea, Joseph's hometown, is the same place as Ramathaim Zophim, which was Samuel's hometown. Joseph of Arimathea was a member of the Sanhedrin Council. Sanhedrin, which means to gather together or sit around, was the highest legislative body in Judea. The Korean Bible translates the Sanhedrin as the council. And the council was composed of 71 members, including the chairman. The origin of this council comes from the appointment of 70 elders by Moses who have left Egypt following the advice of his father-in-law, Jethro. The council was composed of priests, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, scribes, and elders, and was chaired by the high priest. And the members of the Sanhedrin were the highest elites in the Jewish society back then. The Roman emperors allowed for the establishment of local governments in each of their colonies in order to effectively govern the lands that they occupied. And pursuant to such Roman rule, the chairman of the Sanhedrin Council was appointed by the governor of Rome, and during the days of Jesus, the chairman of Sanhedrin was the high priest Annas. As the highest legislative body, the Sanhedrin ruled over every affair from the religious and moral, and sometimes to the administrative and political affairs. As a religious body, it managed the entire Jewish people, and as a political entity, it could sentence the death penalty with judicial power. However, it could only be executed with the approval of the Roman government. And as an administrative body, it was also responsible for levying tax. The Roman Empire appointed a governor for each colony, and the governor entrusted the collection of taxes to the provincial governor or the elders of the city. In turn, the governor commissioned the Sanhedrin Council, who entrusted in turn the duty to tax collectors, who had to directly collect tax on behalf of the Roman government, and was thus at the other end of multiple complaints from the Jews. Joseph of Arimathea, who was a member of such a high legislative body, never appeared during the years of Jesus' public ministry. But the life that Joseph lived is introduced in one sentence in the Gospel of Luke, which says that he was a good and righteous man. The Hebrew word for good has the literal meaning of having a good appearance or behaving appropriately in language or behavior. And this word is also used to mean having a high status, influential, or rich. Judging from this, it seems that Joseph, who was first introduced in the Gospel of Luke, was a man who fulfilled his duties as a leader of a society. Also, as shown in the Gospel of Mark, which describes that he was a respected member of the council, we can see that he was one of the more influential members of the Sanhedrin Council. So Joseph, who was influential at his place of work, was among the ones who were waiting for the kingdom of God. The phrase, "one who waits for the kingdom of God," is a Jewish expression meaning a very holy person. Joseph was a man who longed for the kingdom of God, and he found that the kingdom of God he had been waiting for was in Jesus Christ. Joseph was a highly pious man who was waiting for the kingdom of God, and he had a pristine reputation. However, he actually feared of being exposed as a disciple of Jesus. Whether he was afraid because of the high social status that he enjoyed or because of his honor, we do not know. But there is another description in the Bible of Joseph, who was good and righteous, verse 57 of today's scripture. As evening approached, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who had himself become a disciple of Jesus. The Gospel of Matthew describes Joseph as a rich man. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 9, which prophesizes the passion of Christ, testifies that he was with the rich in his death. Matthew seemed to have considered the prophecy of Isaiah being fulfilled down the road, which is why he specifically described Joseph as a rich man out of his various other traits. Of course, the definition of rich may differ in every era and in every country, but there must have been a lot of wealthy people at the time. And among them, Joseph of Arimathea was given the honor of fulfilling the prophecies mentioned in the Isaiah of the Old Testament. Most members of the Sanhedrin Council threatened Pilate to render the ruling to crucify Jesus and eventually nailed Jesus to the cross. However, Joseph raised a different request to Pilate, verse 58. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body, and Pilate ordered that it be given to him. Allow me to read the book of Mark, chapter 15, verse 43. Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent member of the council, who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, went boldly to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. The Gospel of Mark testifies that Joseph has boldly went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. And the word translated as boldly means not afraid or not fearful. Joseph's bold behavior contrasts with his previous fear of revealing his discipleship before. He came forth without hiding behind fear and publicly declared himself as a disciple of Jesus. And this was indeed an adventurous and a very risky decision. At the time, families were allowed to claim the dead body of a prisoner who were executed for committing general crimes. However, this was not even allowed for the families of a prisoner who was executed for committing political crimes or treason. And as the family members can also be considered as an accomplice if they asked for the dead bodies, they usually refused to claim the bodies. Having said that, Joseph asking to claim the body and proceeding with the burial of Jesus, who the Sanhedrin Council already ruled as a sinner, could have been considered as treason against the council, and thus a highly dangerous move. By asking to do so, Joseph could have been taken away with all his social status, reputation, and even his own life in an instance. However, Joseph did not hide behind his fears. Upon receiving Joseph's request, Pilate obediently handed over the body of Jesus. When one goes to a funeral, one may sometimes encounter the body of the deceased, cleansed and wrapped in shrouds, lying straight and upright in the coffin. Opposed to such a setting, the body of Jesus that Joseph was handed over with must have been torn and trampled, with traces of the nails that were brutally drilled in and wrenched out. Since the burial had to be completed before the Sabbath began, Joseph did not even have the time to mourn, but wrapped the Lord's body in clean linen. Verse 59. Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen cloth. The linen that Joseph prepared for the burial was a fine linen cloth made out of flax, the finest at the time. The phrase clean linen cloth emphasizes that Joseph prepared the burial with all his heart and might, rather than alluding to the fact that he used a new or unused cloth. At the time, the bodies of prisoners executed according to the Roman law were usually dumped on the roadside or left out in the fields or hills to be eaten by wild animals or vultures. However, the body of Jesus was not left unattended, as did other bodies, but was instead carefully handled by Joseph to be buried according to the Jewish burial customs. The Jews would proceed with the burial customs where loving friends of the deceased would get together and see to the very last steps of the burial. In the Gospel of John, there is another person mentioned who helped Joseph prepare the burial, John chapter 19, verses 38 to 40. Later, Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Now Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly because he feared the Jewish leaders. With Pilate's permission, he came and took the body away. He was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who earlier had visited Jesus at night. Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloe, about 75 pounds. Taking Jesus' body, the two of them wrapped it with the spices in strips of linen. This was in accordance with the Jewish burial customs. It seems that Joseph and Nicodemus, who did not agree with the majority of the council members when they plotted to catch Jesus, saw eye to eye and went the other way. Nicodemus poured myrrh and aloe on the body of Jesus, and Joseph wrapped the body of Jesus in the linen that he had prepared. And Nicodemus, who accompanied Joseph at Jesus' funeral, came to seek Jesus at night and asked about the eternal life. He was also the one who defended Jesus at the Sanhedrin Council. However, Nicodemus, along with Joseph, did not reveal that he was a disciple and a follower of Jesus. He too was a hidden disciple. But it was through these hidden disciples that the burial processes were completed, and the body of Jesus was now buried in a tomb among the rocks, today's verse 60, and placed it in his own new tomb that he had cut out of the rock. In accordance with the Jewish customs, the elites, such as kings or the noble families, would prepare the tombs in which they will be buried in. Joseph willingly offered the Lord an unused tomb that he had prepared for himself and his family. But how could Joseph of Arimathea, who was afraid to reveal himself, finally disclose that he was a disciple of Jesus? How could he reveal his faith that Jesus was the true Messiah in a moment of truth, when the reputation and the status that he has accumulated, let alone his life, was at stake? We do not know how, as the gospel does not offer us an explanation. However, the fruit that he was able to bear out of his life testifies that he truly loved the one and only God of the eternal life. When you love someone, you become like and resemble the person you love. You take on the facial traits and the hobbies of your lover. Research has also shown that your heart rates and breathing cycles are aligned with your loved ones when you are together. Joseph of Arimathea was also becoming like the Lord, who even sacrificed his own life to save the people. Even amid the adverse situation, shadowed by desperation and fear, Joseph no longer shied away from his secret place and boldly took a step forward, all because he was able to find favor before God. The first half of 1 John chapter 4, verses 17 to 18 testifies, "This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear." Joseph, becoming like the Lord, drove out his fear and walked resolutely before the members of the Sanhedrin Council and fearlessly asked for the body of the Lord before Pilate. According to anecdotes, Joseph of Arimathea was disqualified later from the Sanhedrin Council and the priests' council and the priests for the alleged stealing of the body of Jesus, and was imprisoned for about 40 years. After being released, he moved to England around 63 AD to settle down in Glastonbury and built the first ever chapel in England there. Joseph of Arimathea must have known that some form of disadvantage would find him. But even though he could foresee such tribulations, he could not stay in his hidden place as a hidden disciple at the very last moment. Let us read verse 57 of today's scripture again. As evening approached, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who had himself become a disciple of Jesus. It was when evening approached that Joseph willingly revealed himself as a disciple of Jesus. The phrase evening approached refers to around 6 p.m. on a given day, according to the Jewish calendar. So it was not late into the evening, but around late afternoon, right before the sun goes down. The Jews did not do any work on the Sabbath according to their own laws. And the law also stipulated that a dead body that hangs from a tree should not be left in such a state overnight, but should be buried on the same day. Thus, Joseph of Arimathea hurriedly went to the hill of Golgotha to prepare for the burial of the Lord before the Sabbath started. The reason why Joseph came and ran before the darkness fell was because it was just before the Sabbath was about to begin, but also because he could no longer stand being a hidden disciple. The late afternoon, or when the sun sets down, is a time when some feel fatigue after a hard day's work. For others, it is also a time where they recover by resting. The world we live in now encounters more darkness than light. Desperation than hope, darkness than light, has dominated today's world. However, darkness cannot claim victory over light. Because the Lord's presence did not die with the cross, but was resurrected to bring eternal life, what may seem like the setting sun is actually a start, thereby giving us hope. Likewise, Joseph of Arimathea, who did not think that the death of the Lord was a moment of doom, was able to experience the grace of God by directly presiding over the funeral of the Messiah. Joseph of Arimathea must have not been the only person who thought that they should help with the burial of Jesus at the time. Joseph was probably not the only person who had Jesus in their hearts and who were the hidden disciples. Despite this, it was only Joseph who gave up his own tomb for the Lord when all the others lost interest. And this is why we remember Joseph of Arimathea even after 2,000 years. As I prepared for today's sermon, there was something that kept dawning on my mind. It was the volunteer recruitment section under the announcements tab every week. As I saw the number of the recruitments did not decrease with each passing week, I could not help but to think what the Lord would think of this. The 100th Anniversary Memorial Church was built to fulfill its mission of paving the road for the 200th anniversary of Korean Christianity, and paving the right path towards the 200th anniversary of Korean Christianity does not start with grand things. It all begins with us standing righteously in front of God to offer up our worship. Once we stand before God as righteous worshipers, the next step is to turn their eyes towards the family, church, society, and the humanity to put their minds into action for the sake of them. If Joseph did not execute what he had in mind, another figure would have taken the place of his name in today's scripture. Starting from last Thursday, the Senior District Summer Retreat has been held for 3 days under the sub-theme of In the Society of Dead Christians. And I also learned many lessons by deeply meditating on the records of the judges who appear in the Gospel of Judges. Deborah the prophet was a wife of Lapidoth, and Deborah was a prophet and was also called as a judge by God. But in the face of the Lord's calling, the then housewife Deborah did not make an excuse saying that she had a lot of housework to tend to. Instead, Deborah obediently followed the Lord. And when she obeyed, she was able to enjoy becoming the channel of blessing for the Lord's work. On the other hand, when Judge Samson failed to live as a Nazarite and lay on the knees of Delilah, a Gentile, he did not realize that the Spirit of Jehovah had already left him. joining in the works of paving the road for the 200th anniversary of Korean Christianity will be possible only when we obey the callings of the Lord with a pure heart, without the desire to be named, seen, or heard. The Lord said that whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much, and whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. True enough, the history of Christianity in churches have been continued owing to those who obey the word of God without the desire to be named or to be seen. As I see the church program, I always think, if only I could play the piano, I would volunteer for the accompanist. If only I could speak foreign languages, I would volunteer for the interpretation team. And I think of this every week with a sad heart, because I cannot volunteer even if I wanted to. If, at this time, there are any church members who are able but are hesitating at one's own hearts, we invite you to come volunteer. We invite you with sincere hearts, because we do not know for how long this opportunity will be given to us in this time of the setting sun. Even in your households, workplaces, and in society, if you have set your mind on something to take action, may you not lose that opportunity for good while hesitating. May you all walk the path of obedience with a bold heart and not hide behind the pillar of excuses. When we are at the place of service and at the place of obedience, only then will we become the disciples of Jesus to resemble the Lord more and align with His breathing and His heartbeat. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, there were no one to mourn or to give condolences at your funeral. Even though you are the King of Kings, there was not a single funeral procession. The disciples who said that they would sacrifice their lives for you were nowhere to be seen, nor the brothers. But God entrusted the burial of the Lord to Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, who no longer hid behind their fears and overcame them with your love. And when the Lord called to Joseph and Nicodemus, they willingly obeyed and were able to experience the grace of God by personally handling the burial of the Messiah. While such an opportunity of grace does not exist now, we are grateful that you gave us the hearts and opportunities to obey and volunteer for the little things without the desires to be named or seen. May the brothers and sisters of the 100th Anniversary Memorial Church continue to expand their opportunities to serve others wherever they are placed to live and breathe in the same way as the Lord. Now is a time of the setting sun, but because we are your disciples who are waiting for the kingdom of God, may we all live in your mercy and grace to behave vigilantly and resemble God this coming week. We pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.